Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. We're going to keep it kind of topical today. Robbie, when I tell you, it'd be a little weird if Brupolo was in Hinchcliffe.
That would be really weird.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yes. I have nothing else to add.
As well, you shouldn't. It probably should not at this point. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and I certainly know that you are looking for it. You're looking for new items, new gear, new logos. They've all got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. I mean, you know, I haven't been there this week yet, and I said I was going to go, so I guess I'm going tomorrow. I guess that's when our Friday. What day are we going to Restaurant Tyler, Robbie? You haven't told me yet.
I wasn't told we were going to Restaurant Tyler.
Yeah, I'm asking you right now. I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
That's upsetting. I won't lie to you. I was hoping
you put me on the spot. I don't know what you expect me to say here. I haven't made any plans for this yet. You could be making these plans as well. Don't just throw it on me.
I like to put you in charge. You know? That's fine. We'll figure it out.
Oh, now you want to put me in charge.
I won't put you in charge. You know, I don't want you in charge of little things like the show. I want you in charge of big things like we're getting lunch.
Okay.
That's far more important to me than this show. It's where my next meal is coming from. Hopefully, it's coming from Restaurant Tyler. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you're not and you want to just let somebody else do the cooking for you, man, go let somebody else cook that steak for you. We've got so many great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. They're all right there waiting for you. You support your beef producers in this state, no matter what you choose. $500 million a year, half billion with a B, worth of agribusiness from our beef producers every single year in the state of Mississippi. So support them and eat a steak. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where their locations are, but show you how they're going to help you invest, help you manage your money, help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, it's important to be able to talk to people about your money, to get somebody on the phone when you have a question. You don't want to have to wait. You shouldn't have to wait. You don't have to wait when you're talking to Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, this has been a long and hard football season and has been very difficult for us. We have struggled We like putting smiles on our listeners' faces, and we haven't been able to do that very much. But today is a different day, Robbie Falk. Today is a day we are going to put smiles on people's faces because today, my friend, we are going to preview men's and women's basketball here on Thunder and Lightning.
Yay!
We did it. We made it. We're good.
Basketball is here, my friend.
Yeah. Let's start with the men. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I kind of am, by the fact that this team feels really underrated. Bringing back what they've brought back, adding what they've added from the transfer portal, and yet the AP poll comes out and Mississippi State's not ranked, but Ole Miss is. And I saw something today from Matt Norlander who said that he thought Ole Miss would be the best program in the state this year. And I understand that Chris Beard is an elite coach and has won everywhere he's been. But when you look at these rosters, I don't feel like there's that. I feel like State's got a better roster than Ole Miss. Why is this team so underrated, in your opinion?
I just think that it's just, you know, Chris Jans is not a flashy coach. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and do a whole lot of promotion for his team. His product has not been flashy either. He's just a guy that wins. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's kind of like the Kurt Cignetti thing. Like, he just wins. And I think Chris Beard, for whatever reason, he's very just talking about Ole Miss, he's very, like, chummy with the media. He has a lot of friends within the media. I think it's very obvious that a lot of his friends are putting out a lot of messaging for him this year, because just, you know, objectively, you can't look at the two programs and right now say that Ole Miss is better than Mississippi State. You can't. Last year, they didn't make the NIT last season. They did make some progress. They had some success in non-conference play. Of course, they beat Mississippi State at Ole Miss. But the latter part of the schedule was terrible. They finished the year horrible. And, you know, to me, I didn't think that the portal class was all that different than what they did last year. The portal class last year for Ole Miss was one that made a splash. And, you know, they still struggled in the post. They struggled to do some things down the line last year. Mississippi State is a program now that has been to back-to-back NCAA tournaments with worst rosters. I think this roster is more talented than each of those two rosters. And he brought back the two most important pieces, in my opinion, in Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews. So if you want to compare the two, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, I think it's wrong to put Ole Miss ahead of State. State finished ahead of them in the SEC. State went to the SEC tournament semifinals. They went to the NCAA tournament for the second year in a row. And I think they upgraded their roster at some important positions. But just objectively, just looking at Mississippi State, they should be ahead of Ole Miss in the pecking order anyway, in my opinion. Just like if you put the two programs together and what they've done, I think it's more benefit of the doubt for Chris Beard than anything.
Yeah. This should be a pretty good team. You know, a season ago, I said I thought they would contend for the SEC championship. I was off on that prediction. But this season, I don't know if they're up there with Alabama and Auburn just yet, but I do think they could be maybe a top five, top six team in the conference, which would probably translate into being a four or five seed when we get into March and we get into the NCAA tournament. This team is going to look different than the first two teams that Chris Jans has coached here at Mississippi State. And it's going to look more like the teams he coached at New Mexico State. Those teams were offensive-minded basketball teams. They shot a lot of threes. They made a lot of threes. I think this team will be much better offensively. I still think the effort will be there defensively. But State just had guys last year that were outstanding defenders at almost every position. This year, you know, those guys are a little bit more unproven. You still have Cam Matthews, who can hold down a lot of things for you. But DJ Jeffries, despite the fact that he only averaged just under 7 points per game, was a massive piece of what Mississippi State did last year from a defensive perspective. I think this year it's just State's going to win more games offensively. I feel like we're having the same kind of discussions we had about football, but at the same time, I got a lot more faith in what Chris Jans is going to do defensively than I do Coleman Hutzler. Now, this team last year averaged 74 a game and gave up 69 a game.
Nice.
I think this year you might see maybe 2-3 points more offensively, maybe 75, 76 points per game. And then defensively, maybe that's 71 per game. That's fine. They'll still win plenty of games doing that. And like I said, I don't think the defensive intensity goes down any. I just think that it's, you know, you're just not going to be as good as you were. But then last year, you only had two guys who averaged in double figures. I think this year that might be closer to three, maybe four.
Yeah, and it's going to be a totally different style. Like, what does this team look like, and how does that affect what they do on the defensive side? Like, how does that affect the other team? You know, it might not – it's not going to be a team, I think, that's running the shot clock down a little bit and slowing the pace. I think they're going to run a fast-paced style, and they have guys that can knock down shots. And they want to be very well conditioned this year, so I think you might see a little more pressure, which last year's team would indicate a lot of pressure too. I'm interested to see what this defense looks like around the perimeter. I think that they're going to be able to defend in the post when it's all said and done. I know there's some question marks there, but they have some athletes down there that I think can defend. The perimeter defense is what I'm looking at this year because State was so good last year with DJ Jeffries kind of heading that up at defending the three-point shot. And that's kind of like one of the calling cards for Chris Chance. And I think that, just like you said, I mean, his demands on that side of the ball have not changed at all. Mississippi State is still going to be a team that has a tremendous amount of effort defensively. And he's going to get every ounce, I think, of defense out of these guys. So I'm not all that concerned about it. I think it is going to probably tick down a little bit just because of who you lost defensively. But the net gain, I think, is what's important. And that's the fact that you have guys that I don't think are going to be sitting here saying, you know, thank God State has Josh Hubbard because there's nobody else that can score tonight. Like that happened a few times for Mississippi State last year. Mm-hmm. I think this year it's going to look a lot differently. You're going to feel like you have a chance in most games because of what you can do with the three-point shot and even, you know, getting down to the post with Keyshawn Murphy. So,
and I agree with everything you just said, but at the same time, thank God Mississippi State has Josh Hubbard because he is going to be an outstanding player for them this year. You know, I think you and I both thought coming into last season that Hubbard was going to – I really did think he was going to be that sixth man for most of the year. I didn't predict him to take off the way that he did. But early in the season, he provided that spark off the bench. He was able to give you the shooting that Mississippi State had desperately lacked the season before, Jans's first year there. Now he's going to be, you know, a marked man. Every game plan for teams that play Mississippi State is going to revolve itself around – stopping Josh Hubbard. Everybody is going to have on the chalkboard, don't let Hubbard beat you. And so it's going to fall to some of these other guys. The problem is this. I feel like State has enough options that you can't just take Hubbard away and let other guys beat you because I really do feel like State has guys that can do that. But I think Hubbard's in for a big year. And when I talked to Jans back a few weeks ago, yeah, he made it. We talked about it. You said that he doesn't like to beat the table for his team very much. He was beating the table a little bit for Josh Hubbard and talking about how he feels like he's not getting enough due as one of the top players, not only in the SEC, but in the country. He averaged 17 a game last season. What is a reasonable expectation? I mean, I feel like if he's just at 17 a game, it's not that big a deal. It feels like that's a lot of points per game in college basketball, but he could take a step forward. And I mean, you're only talking about one more made shot a game, and now you're at 19 a game.
Yeah, I don't even think it's like a points per game thing that can show that he's a better player. Like, one of the things last year that early I think was kind of keeping him off the court was that the defensive piece of things, you know, just transitioning to college and being a little more present defensively. And that really grew with him. And eventually got to the point where Jans just couldn't keep him off the court.
Right.
He was such a dynamic player for them, they had to play him. And I thought he got better as the year went on defensively. How much has he improved, you know, out front defensively in that backcourt this year? That's kind of the big thing for me. And I've wondered if adding these pieces doesn't make him a better player all around because you're not asking him to go out there and shoot the volume of shots that you shot last year. You had to shoot those shots to give your team a chance. And while the game plan is still going to be around him, there's so many pieces that teams are going to have to plan for this year that I think it's going to take a little pressure off of him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have to do what he did last year all the time. There can be nights where he scores, 8 or 9 points. He just, you know, didn't have the best night. And Mississippi State still wins the game. I don't know how many times that could have happened last year. So I think that adding Kanye Cleary, adding Riley Kugel, adding Claudell Harris, even a guy like RJ Melendez, those guys are going to take a lot of weight off of Josh Hubbard's shoulders, and he can play even more free, I think, this year in State's offense. So I think it can be a better year for him. I don't know if we can expect the same numbers from him from three-point range and scoring-wise just because now you're spreading it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's going to be a great year for him.
One of the things that's interesting about this team, and when we talked about it a second ago, of how they're going to look a lot different. You know, last year's team, that was a big team. I mean, you've got DJ Jeffries was 6'7", 6'8". You got Cam Matthews there. Tolu coming off the bench. Jimmy Bell, Keyshawn Murphy. You're not as big in the wing this year. Kugel is not going to be the same kind of physical presence. This is going to be a kind of a small team with Cam playing that four more often than not. So the rebounding battle is going to be very interesting for them. That's where I think that Femina and Nwoko are such a big key. I don't think State needs the scoring presence in the middle they've had the past couple years with Tolu Smith, but they definitely need the rebounding presence out of those two guys. That's how State's going to get things started in transition by you know, getting out and getting the ball to those big wings, to getting the ball to their shooters in the backcourt. Those two guys, to me, it's more about rebounding and defense than it's ever been at the five position under Jans, who had a good scorer there the past 2 years with Tolu Smith. This year, I mean, if those guys are averaging 6-7 points a game, that's fine, but they need to be, you know, 7-8-9 rebounds a game as well.
Yeah, and it wouldn't shock me to see Keyshawn Murphy down there too.
I think he's going
to
play the five too. I agree, yeah.
I kind of like him as a stretch four, but I mean, honestly, he can handle that position, I feel like. And there's not been a guy talked about more this offseason than him. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we kind of know what Josh and Cam Matthews are about. Mm-hmm. But he has gotten the most buzz out of anybody that I've talked to within the program. Mm-hmm. He is really impressed. Physically, he's there. Mentally, he's there. The first 2 years, we've kind of seen him check out at times. His first year here, he goes through kind of a traumatic experience with an injury. And then he's dealing with, you know, some people in his ear telling him that he's not getting enough playing time and things like that. He left the team for a little bit. And I think that coming back from that and doing what he did kind of late in the season, and then the offseason he decides to transfer and then he comes back, I think we've gotten over the hump with Keyshawn Murphy. And now it remains to be seen. We need to see a full season out of it. But everybody that I talk to says that this kid's just different this year. And I really feel like we've gotten over the hump with him. If you can get him to be a good rebounder for this team, a guy that can clean up offensive boards, that can, you know, box out and end possessions on the other end, I think the offensive piece is going to be there. Because, buddy, we've seen some flashes from this guy.
Yeah.
We've seen some really big flashes with him that is kind of unnatural stuff for a guy that's 6'10", for him to be able to move the way he does and, you know, the ball handling that he has at that size. He's got the ability to do some special things for Mississippi State in the post, and a lot different than what we saw from Tolu Smith. He can face you up. I don't like to see him at three-point range, but he is capable of doing that.
He's taking a couple of threes a game. I think we're okay with that. If he's taking 5-6 threes a game, that's what you don't want to see.
No, not at all. But just keeping teams honest. That's why I kind of like him at the stretch four sometimes. Mm-hmm. But State will be playing a little smaller, you know, when he's in there. He's not what I would consider like a true center.
Right.
But I do think that he could factor in at the five this year, along with Femina and Nwoku.
Yeah.
If I had to give a nod to somebody right now out of those two, I'd probably give it to Nwoku.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy that's gotten some good praise so far. But it's still improving down there. It still remains to be seen. But I think State will figure it out.
Yeah. When you look at this roster and the new faces on it, Claudel Harris, Kanye Clary, Riley Kugel, you bring in, we mentioned the two big guys already, but also R.J. Melendez, who apparently was a big scorer for State in their under-wraps scrimmage this past weekend. These are all guys who provide an offensive threat that you just did not have a season ago. I mean, right now, your two starting guards are probably Clary and Hubbard. That's 34 points per game last year. Last year, your starting backcourt was around 23, 24 points per game, whether it was Deshaun Davis or Shaq Moore. So, I mean, right there, that's a huge boost for Mississippi State. That Kugel is the guy. Kugel is kind of an X factor in this team because I think the ceiling is the highest for him, even more so than Hubbard, because as much as I love Josh Hubbard, I mean, when you look at him from a size perspective, you don't really see a guy who I think will be a big NBA player just because he's just physically not as big as some guards are over there in the NBA now. But Kugel could be that guy who could be the next, you know, NBA guy. This is kind of a huge year for him. He had a great freshman year at Florida. He took a step back a little bit last year. This year, back in Mississippi State where he was committed to out of high school, it feels like everything's in place for him to have a big season. He's got a guy in Cam Matthews who can do a lot of the dirty work for him. He's got a guy in Josh Hubbard that's going to provide a lot of spacing. And I think with Kanye Clary does the same. I really think if State is going to be something more than just good, that Riley Kugel is the key to that.
Yeah, I think so for sure. They got some wings that can really make them go. Kugel is kind of like Murphy. Like, he's shown a lot of flashes. The consistency piece is where it has to really hone in for him. But this is why I don't understand the lack of hype around this team from people that, you know, cover this for a living. It doesn't make much sense to me. You went out and added three guys that can really score the basketball at the guard positions, guard slash, you know, small forward positions, and Harris, Clary, and Kugel. Not only did you add those guys that have produced where they did, they produced with Power Four schools. Kugel did it in this league. Mm-hmm. RJ Melendez did it in this league. We hadn't even really talked about him.
Yeah.
The State's transfer portal hall is one of the best in the country, and you added that with two key pieces and Keyshawn, I guess you can put in there, but Cam and Josh. I just don't get it, man, that there's a lot to like about this team, and especially in the starting five. And I think Kugel is certainly a big part of that. This could be really big for him because I feel like he just needed a change of scenery. I think it gotten kind of stale there for him. And sometimes when guys get a new location, their whole perspective changes, their whole mindset changes. They're able to kind of become who they really want to be. I think that's in play for Riley Kugel. I think he has every opportunity to do that at Mississippi State. And again, he's going to have people around him that it's not going to be a lot of pressure on him every single night to come in and really fill it up.
Yeah,
he can spot up. He can get his shots. And this is a guy that can pretty much score all three levels. We've seen him hit from really deep. His range is just about unlimited. Mm-hmm. He can get to the rim. He can shoot the mid range shot. The offensive piece is really there for him. Where it's going to matter for him is how hard he's playing, because Chris Jans has shown no matter who you are, no matter, you know, how much money you've agreed to an NIL, if you aren't willing to come in there, practice hard, and play hard, you will not play.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not willing to do that, then they won't play him. Yeah. And I'm not saying he hasn't done that, but if he doesn't come in and give his best effort and be his best person he can be, he's not going to play. So yeah, it's really up to him.
Yeah. Melendez is the one. If you said pick a DJ Jeffries replacement, that's who I'm picking. Big wing, can shoot the three a little bit, but defensively is going to be really good. I mean, you mentioned doing it in this league. He had a 30-point game last year against Florida, I believe. He's just got some of the same qualities that DJ Jeffries gave Mississippi State over the past couple of years. And that's the guy I kind of have, you know. Again, it feels like there's so many X factors with this team, right? Because if Kugel is what he can become, if Melendez can give you a little bit more offense than DJ Jeffries with that same defensive presence, if Clary and Harris space things out, and if Cam Matthews continues to just be, you know, the jack of all trades, then there's a lot to like about this team. And it's a team that on paper, you know, you feel like could go deep in March. I don't like making the predictions about the tournament because it's so matchup driven. You know, if you could play a team that has a bad matchup for you in the first game, and it doesn't matter if you're a 5 or a 4 or a 3, you could be in real trouble there. Because it just doesn't, you know, college basketball is just so different than every other sport. in that way. But on paper, this roster is deep enough, talented enough. It has enough experience. It has enough chemistry, I think, with Hubbard and Cam Matthews kind of leading things, that it should be among the favorites to make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I tried to get that out of Jans a couple weeks ago, and he was having none of that. He didn't want to put himself under the spotlight like that. I get it. I totally understand that. But I think this is going to be a really good team. When you look at their schedule, Robbie, you know, it is definitely one that's designed to get you back into the NCAA tournament. I love what Jans does with these neutral site games. He played three neutral site games in the state of Mississippi. So they're not really neutral site games. They're going to be home crowds for Mississippi State, but you get a good net bump out of that. Utah is a team that has a chance to be a quad one win. They'll probably be no worse than a quad two. You play McNeese and Tupelo.
They were probably playing them at home. And
yeah. You at home, it's probably a quad two, quad three game.
Yeah. You can change a whole quadrant based on where they are.
You know, you've got McNeese, NCAA tournament team a season ago. We could see our good friend Will Wade, the American gangster, in Tupelo this year. But
the
that's
Jim Cornette of college basketball.
That's a quad three game if you play it at home. McNeese, as good as they were a season ago, their net wasn't very good. But it's probably a quad two game by playing it in Tupelo. I don't know enough about Central Michigan, to be totally honest with you, to tell you what they're going to be. But chances are it goes from quad four at home to quad three on the neutral side, and maybe even quad two, depending on what they are this year. Then you've got some interesting road games in there. You play the neutral site tournament with a UNLV, and then it's either Butler or Northwestern. Northwestern ended up being a quad one win for Mississippi State a season ago, so that's a good situation there. At SMU, that's probably going to end up being a quad one game for you one way or the other. And then you have the ACC Challenge, Pitt coming to Starkville. Even then, it's probably still going to be a quad one game. Pitt's been a pretty good program the past couple of years. Obviously, State saw them in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. This non-conference schedule, if State can get through it unscathed or with one loss, when those first net ratings start coming out, they're going to be pretty highly rated. And that's what's been the key to State success these last 2 years, is they've gotten through the non-conference relatively unscathed. I think they had one loss Jans' first year. That was to, was it Drake that they lost to at a neutral site? And then, of course, last year you had that horrible loss to Southern, which that changed Mississippi State's season. They would not have been an 8 seed had they won that game. They probably would have been a 6 seed or a 7 seed.
And yeah, you might have moved up 2 spots.
Yeah, it really was worth it. But they've been really good in non-conference this year. If they can do it again this year, they're going to once again give themselves a chance to be a high NCAA seed, and especially if I think they can be better in the conference than they've been the past 2 years.
Yeah, and you mentioned those neutral site games. There's some NIL implications in that too. You know, State can gain some NIL from that. That was like they did with the Barstool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going on the road to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the best non-conference schedule that they've had.
It's really good,
on paper. Now, a lot of that can change. It can shift one way or the other. I thought a year or 2 years ago, that schedule probably turned out to be better than we thought preseason. And maybe a little of that last year, too. You know, you had the Rutgers game that was basically a home game for Rutgers. Mm-hmm. They did what State's doing, playing in Tupelo and South Haven.
Mm-hmm.
That basically was a home game for them, and that actually, you know, it would have helped Mississippi State if they would have played that at Rutgers. And it was like I said, the atmosphere might as well have been at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. But this year, I think it really sets up well. You're also not playing just a ton of cupcakes. Like even the home games are not just the worst of the worst. Just nothing but SWAC. You know, three or four SWAC teams or something like that.
Yeah.
You play, and like I love playing McNeese. That's going to really challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
State's going to come into SEC play, and I feel like be pretty weathered.
Yeah.
At that point, you would have played McNeese, Pitt, maybe Butler, mm-hmm. Memphis. I don't know what Butler's going to look like this year. SMU was a 20-win team last year. They're always pretty solid, and now they're in the ACC. That's a Power 4 game. It's a schedule that I think really sets you up for the gauntlet that you're about to go through in SEC play.
It's kind of funny that SMU is the school that kind of started the ridiculous coaching carousel. They fired their coach after a 20-win season. They go get USC's coach. Musselman goes out there, and then the next thing you know, Calipari is at Arkansas as a result of all this. And of course, Chris Jans was linked to Arkansas as well. So that SMU series is kind of interesting how that worked out. SEC play, you get to start in Starkville against South Carolina, who was one of the surprise teams in the SEC a season ago. I believe you split with them last year. Vanderbilt in Nashville, that should be a
win. Lost both of them, actually.
Did they lose the last game of the year last year? Mm-hmm. They did, didn't they? Gosh, I pushed that out
in devastating fashion.
Yeah, it was in overtime, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. They tried to give away at the end of the season last year.
They couldn't stop the Wofford transfer.
Yes, yes. But South Carolina home, I feel like you should be able to get that one. Vanderbilt on the road should be able to get that one. So you got a great chance to be 2-0 when you host Kentucky on January 11th. I believe that's the weekend before school gets back in. So some people should be coming back to Starkville. If you're listening, Zach Selman, and I know people – we know that people in the Bryan building are listening. If you're listening, I'm just telling you right now, I'm begging you. All right. This is me coming to you as a friend. Just another game. No whiteout, no blackout, no maroon out, no special this, no special that. Just another game.
Do not put on the video board, don't rush the court.
You know what's funny about that? That's one of those things like, I know it looked bad in the moment, but they put it up for every game. Every game they put that up there.
I don't think they did it like that every game. I think it was the
announcement of it. It was so much like we get the PA saying it as well.
Yeah, they did that. I haven't seen. I've heard them say it on the PA.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen them put it on the video board as often as they did. And I'm sitting there looking at it. And I'm like, why?
We all had the same thought. Everybody, we were all up there just looking at each other, going, "That's the kiss of death." But what I'm
especially
saying,
whenever
this game.
We had not to that point seen Mississippi State win a game against John Calipari at
ever
the hump. We had seen it one time. He beat him in the SEC tournament.
That's right.
But we'd never seen him beat him at the hump.
Just another game. That's all that game is. So
don't do a whiteout, please.
Yeah.
Even though it looks awesome, especially. Yeah. Whenever you got the blue popping with the white, it looks great. Cool,
but don't do it.
Yeah.
One game with Auburn. It's at Auburn, so that'll be a tough one. One game with Tennessee. It's at Tennessee. That'll be a tough one. You get two with Alabama, who's probably the best team not only in the conference but in the country. So that'll be tough.
I feel like Florida, they play them twice every year.
Just the way it is right now, yeah. Florida and Starkville, A&M and Starkville. Texas in Starkville, LSU in Starkville. Only one game with Arkansas. You don't see Calipari until the last game of the season. That one's in Fayetteville, where State has had some success in recent years against the Hawks, so we'll see how that goes. This is a schedule that Mississippi State, I think, can manage. They should be 20-plus wins, 22, 23 wins when we get to the end of the season, and then you just kind of take it from there. And if that's the case, again, I think this would be a tournament team, and they are what they are.
Yeah, I think – I'm not looking at this team and seeing 2004, SEC champs.
No.
Because it's just so good that the league top to bottom is as good as I can remember it.
It's much better than it was in 2004, for sure.
But what you want to be is like, middle to upper part of the pack. Can you be in that 5-6 range? Because
mm-hmm.
a 5-6 SEC team is a Sweet 16 caliber team, potential Final Four team. That's how good this league is right now. I think anybody in those first like six teams is going to be a team that can make a run in the postseason. And I've always felt like Chris Jans' teams are teams that would be nightmares to play in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's just been missing is they haven't had the ability to go punch for punch with the other team offensively. If you can get the defensive intensity and what he does, mixing things up and creating pressure the way that he does and really getting in your grill like that, if you can get that plus the ability to shoot the three with four guys and, you know, really spread the defense out, I think that this team can be very, very dangerous. And like I said, having a team that, you know, you get to tournament play and you only have, you know, a couple of days to prepare for them, I've always felt like Chris Jans is a guy that's just on the precipice of winning really big in postseason play. His team is a team you do not want to play late in the season. We haven't seen it so much yet, but I think he's changed his roster to the point that we could potentially see that soon.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So should be tournament basketball in March for Mississippi State on the men's side. What about the women? Let's talk about that. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, if you are a business, you know the role that printing plays for you. There's a reason every business spends money on printing. But if you aren't working with the best, then you aren't spending your money wisely. That's why you need to call Cam Baker at Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years of experience in this business, helping out businesses just like you, helping them get their message out to their customers, bring customers in the front door, and keep them coming back time after time. Don't forget, if you are a Bulldog fan, the Bulldog Initiative will benefit from you talking with Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale with them directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You're now a Bulldog Initiative business, and you didn't spend any more money than you were already spending monthly on printing. 601-499-5216 is the number. Tell Cam you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Food so good, it'll make Robbie do an incredibly terrible French Fat Albert impression.
I was dealing with some sinus issues.
Yes. Well, then you should go get a spicy pork taco over at Two Brothers. That'll clear you right out.
Fine. You don't have to pull my arm out of socket.
I won't do that then. You should do it though. You should head over to our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, or you want something a little bit more refined, a little more what the French call a certain je ne sais quoi. Then you head over to our friends at the Older Brother and get a fancy sandwich. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother, two great restaurants right here in the city of Starkville. Go check them out if you haven't already. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50?
50 years.
Sounded like a witch.
50 years, my pretty. It is Halloween.
It is.
So,
as you record, it's Natty's sixth birthday, too.
Happy birthday. Is she in there? Where is she? Go get her.
She's at school. My child is in school.
Well, dang it.
To learn.
Dang it.
Try it.
Well, anyway, getting back to Advantage Business Systems, when you need technology for your business, give them a call if you need a new copy or a new printer. But the best part about it is, well, it's not really the best part, right? Because we don't want our stuff to break, but sometimes it does. Just knowing that you can make a phone call and get somebody out there within 24 hours, that's a big headache relief right there. I mean, so many places, hell, you're going to be on hold for as long as some places will get you to get fixed at Advantage Business Systems. Would you rather be on hold for 2 hours, or would you rather make a quick phone call and somebody's there in 2 hours? It feels like an easy choice. I don't know. You tell me. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you've got to go to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, let's say you're out at the tailgate and you get a little barbecue sauce on the polo, don't go to the game with a polo with barbecue sauce on it. Just duck off campus real quick, head over to Maroon & Co. and get a new polo. Get something with the state script or the interlocking on it. Look great. And we're going to save you some money as well. Thunder15 is our promo code. You can use it in the store or online. Holidays are coming up, so if you can save a little money on what you're putting under the tree, do it. Thunder15 is the promo code. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. On the women's side over there at the Humphrey Coliseum, you know, it's a bounce-back year for sure. There was a point last year where we were like, all right, this team is in. I think it was, you know, after they beat LSU, you're like, they're going to get in, no problem. They did not have the end of the season that they wanted to. When we talked to Sam Purcell a few weeks ago, he put all the blame on himself. He's like, I've got to do a better job. The way we fell apart there, that's on me. When you look at this roster, you know, I think we've said again, we're talking about the men. Like, you just look at the roster, like, that's a tournament team. Do you have that same inclination when you look at this women's roster? Do you just say, that's a tournament team?
I think there's some question marks on it for sure. But at the same time, knowing what I know about what they have and, you know, the if it all fits right, I can see this team being better than last year's team if it all comes together the way that it could. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because you're bringing back four players from last year and only three of them actually played. And the other one, Rocio Jimenez, who redshirted last year with an ACL, she's still hurt. I don't know if she's going to impact this team this year anyway. So you're essentially bringing back three players from last year's team and Dracaela Jordan, DeBrisha Poe, and Nir Montague. But I don't think there's going to be some of the same issues that you had last year internally with, you know, I think they hit a point in the season where there was some finger pointing in the locker room and some things like that. And the chemistry was kind of off kilter a little bit down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got it back together after the SEC tournament. I thought they played really good basketball in the WBIT, but at that point, I mean, you kind of shot yourself in the foot. You missed out on the NCAA tournament, which is – it was a layup. I mean, you had started off SEC play incredibly strong, and then you started pushing for the potential to host an NCAA tournament. When you beat LSU, that changed everything, and you had a very manageable schedule in the back half, and you weren't able to figure it out. So the key for Sam this year, I think, is learning from some of the issues last year and making sure that this year you're able to kind of get everybody on the same page. I think the most important thing is, like, they need an identity. I think that's been something that's been missing from them, offensively especially. What is your offense? What are you running on offense? You know, do you have lulls in it? Do you have possessions where it just feels like you're stagnant? Because I think they've gotten there before. I think that you definitely can improve in that area with Fred Castro, the associate head coach. He's a guy that ran the offense at Washington with Kelsey Plum and Chantel Osahor that, you know, they had been to a Final Four. They played Mississippi State in the Sweet 16 a few years ago. That offense was really good. He's run some good offenses before. I think that having him in position, letting him run that offense and giving Mississippi State more of an identity there is going to help tremendously. And I also think things have changed a lot in the last few weeks because of the addition of Medina Okot, who came in from Kenya. They've had two close scrimmages, and I won't go into full details about it, but I'll just say she was really good mm-hmm. in those scrimmages, and I think that she changes the game for Mississippi State there, and they need that because they lost an All-SEC player in Jessica Carter. She's a little bit different player than Jessica. She's not going to be a true back-to-the-basket center. She can shoot it from mid-range. She's tall. She's long. I don't know if she's going to be as good of a rebounder, but I do think that she's going to do things for Mississippi State that they desperately need. And the difference is going to be how they defend, taking care of the basketball, and the depth that they have. That'll tell the tale of just how good this team can be, because we talk about the men's side and the depth of the league, it's even stronger in the SEC.
Can Dracaela Jordan and DeBrisha Poe be for the women's team what we think Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews will be for the men?
Yeah, I think they can to a certain extent. You know, they're different styles, obviously, mm-hmm. but just as far as being, you know, your leaders out there, your voices, the ones that can make the big shots when you need them, they've done that before. DeBrisha is a player that's been pretty much a spot-up shooter type most of her career to this point, but she's hit big shots in big games before. She knows what it takes. She's not afraid to shoot those shots. And she got better last year, even from what she did as a freshman, which I thought she was really good. She improved her three-point percentage by 10%. She went from 30% to 40. That was one of the best three-point shooting percentages in the entire country last year. So she can really shoot the ball. She's not going to be one that is, you know, your go-to scorer most nights, but she's going to be playing, I think, probably a three or four for state, different position, but I think she's a double-digit scorer potentially. And then Dracayla Jordan is the most underrated player in the country. What she does on both ends of the floor, the fact that she doesn't get the press is mind-boggling. I don't understand it because she's been one of the best players in the SEC 2 years in a row. And if you ask the coaches in the league, they'll tell you that. But I, for whatever reason, she's just flying under the radar. I think that she can really carry this team, but they need other players to step up around her and be able to knock down shots and be able to score when that time comes.
I don't know if there's a more athletically gifted family in the United States than the DeShields family. Your dad was a major leaguer, got a son who was a major leaguer, and now he's got two daughters who have been SEC women's basketball players. Denim DeShields transfers in from UAB. She was a 13-point-per-game scorer over there, averaged double digits almost every game. Yeah, what kind of role does she play for Mississippi State this year?
I think she's definitely going to be a good facilitator for them. Since Sam's been here, they've really wanted to have that player that can run an offense, facilitate for them. She had a couple of good showings in the close scrimmages so far. I think she had six assists the other day against Troy. She's going to be a good addition, I think, for this team. And I think she'll be good on both sides. You mentioned it. I mean, she's got the pedigree. And her dad has really led the charge, but her mom was a track star. Her sister was, you know, all SEC, one of the best players in the conference. She's in the WNBA, Diamond DeShields. We got a chance to watch her a little bit when she was at Tennessee. So, you know, it's in her blood, and I think that means something, and that she's going to be tough. She's going to be really tough because, you know, her parents were tough on her. She grew up in a household full of athletes that played at the highest level. That, to me, is always a sign of a player that's going to be mentally tough and be able to handle big moments. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest addition that she brings to the table is I don't think making that jump from UAB to Mississippi State is going to be a shell shock for her because she's been in big atmospheres before, whether it be as a somebody following her family or as a player. I think she's going to be able to handle that well. I don't know what the numbers look like this year. I'll have to wait and see, you know, what her role really looks like. But just judging on what I'm hearing so far, I think she's going to be a player that can get the ball to players. And also, you know, she can score when she needs to as well.
Is she the transfer, the new face that probably has the biggest impact this year?
Either her or Anaya Russell. Mm-hmm. Anaya Russell has played in the SEC for two other teams. She's a veteran player. She's tough, physical guard, comes from Baltimore, Maryland, but she was recruited by Dawn Staley. So if you're recruited by Dawn Staley, you have to be tough. And I think that's what she brings to the table. But she can score it too. She had two really good games against State last year. She's kind of the X factor for me. If you get what you hope to get from her, it really changes things for Mississippi State in this league. I think they got some good pieces. I wasn't sure about it in the off season. I think it's gotten better as time is going on and they're starting to mesh a little bit. It's going to have to be a team that everybody knows their role. I think that's the kind of the key with these transfer portal kids and sports is, are they buying into the program? Are they buying into what their role is, or are they not happy with the production? That's kind of the key for this team.
All right. Tournament team, in your opinion, yes or no?
Oh.
Put you on the spot.
I think they got a shot. For the sake of you asking me, I'll say yes.
Okay.
But I think it's close. I think there's a lot of things they need to prove before I feel really confident about this team.
What
But
how early in the season could you get some answers, do you think?
I think, you know, non-conference, if they're able to handle most of this non-conference schedule easily, then I feel good about it.
Okay.
If they struggle, if they have three losses or so, then there might be some issues. But it's just the schedule, man. The SEC schedule is nuts.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, I mean, it's going to be difficult. And, I mean, you added two programs to the league that women's basketball might be, you know, one of their top three sports right now, Oklahoma mm-hmm. and Texas.
Yeah.
It definitely is for Oklahoma. And I think Texas has got a point. They got a lot of sports that are really good, but their women's basketball team might be top three too.
Yeah.
So it's not like you added two programs that are scrubs at this. This made the league much tougher.
February 27th, Starkville, Mississippi. Vic Schaefer comes back. What's that going to be like?
I think he'll get a big ovation. It's going to be weird, though. It's going to be really weird. I think a lot of people will be happy to see him. I think, you know, there'll be some people that won't be happy to see him. Mm-hmm. But I think people appreciate the job he did here enough that it's, you know, the respect is there.
Right.
It's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, especially if State can be good at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope State is in a position where they've made the tournament. It looks like they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like the team's really good, so it'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, me too. All right. Tomorrow's show, 3 P's. Mississippi State versus UMass. We'll talk about the football game. I know. It's going to be okay. We'll do that tomorrow. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Everybody who's been tuning in on YouTube, really appreciate you guys out there. Love to see it. Keep watching. And we're going to try to make this a little bit more visually
pleasing.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. So we're working on that. We're just getting things started here. We really appreciate you guys tuning in, though. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.